broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. Good morning. 67 days until the Century Tournament of Champions, and I certainly hope Ben Crenshaw will be there at the Tournament of Champions on the beautiful Kapalua Plantation course. Got a great rundown for you. All my guests, Ron Syrak, Dr. Kiran Kanwar, she's an LPGA Master Instructor. Max Novina, he's the Executive Director of PGA Tour Century Tournament of Champions. Joe Passoff, Traveling Joe, he's going to be with us. And Mark Rolfing, Golf Analyst and Commentator, is going to kick it off with a, oh, you know what the forecast is going to be today? Partly sunny, windward and mauka showers likely in the morning, scattered showers in the afternoon. On the leeward side, more like isolated to scattered showers. High today, 88 degrees. Trades about 15 miles per hour. Hey, it's almost November. 88 degrees in October. We'll be back after this. Mark Rolfing in the house. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. Brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Powers Superstore, next to the Costco gas station. We got merchandise busting at the seams. Honda blowers, weed whackers, generators, steel, Maruyama. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. SIPAC Cybersecurity, Hawaii's experts in cybercrime, ransom, and security. Keep your company safe. Call SIPAC. Cross Country Mortgage. Go see the experts and get your money ready to buy the home you want. Here's Danielle Tucker.
And let's bring Mark Rolfing into the clubhouse, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel NBC, member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, and 2022 PGA Distinguished Service Award recipient. I think I've got the wrong year. I think it was 2019. Let's ask. With Debbie and Mark Rolfing receiving the PGA Distinguished Service Award. Mark Rolfing, what year was that?
Yeah, that was 2019. But like yesterday, time's going fast.
It certainly is. Even though those years in between 19 and 22 kind of dragged along in a strange way. And let's go back in time. I feel like I'm going back in time. I'm watching the leaderboard here. It's Bermuda. Okay, it's a fabulous location. One day it's absolutely gorgeous. The next day it's wet and windy, and I'm coming at them sideways. But I'm looking at the leaderboard, and when I looked at it last, Ben Crane, and was leading, and Aaron Baddeley was tied for second, three-way tie with Charlie Hoffman in the field, Sean O'Hare, Brian Gay, Lucas Glover. You know, didn't it? It's like, where have these people been?
Well, you know, where these people have been is not on the PGA Tour, because in a lot of cases, particularly Ben Crane's, Danielle, he doesn't have access to events. He's only going to get in a certain number of events a year, maybe five, I would say, these days. And Bermuda is one of them. The field is pretty weak at Bermuda, so a lot of guys that have status, both Crane and Brian Gay, you know, are working off a past champion status. And it's just, it's a very, very difficult road now for guys in their 40s on the PGA Tour to even get in the events. And pretty much what they're trying to do is play their way onto the PGA Tour champions. They want to stay active if they can in their 40s. But it's getting harder and harder for them to get access to these events now.
Wow. Well, it was great seeing their names, you know, and thinking, okay, cool, they're still playing at a relatively high, what, 200, top 200 in the world, top 300 in the world. That's a great game. And Seamus Power is now tied for first with Ben Griffin and Aaron Baddeley. I've always enjoyed Aaron Baddeley, just watching him, and he just kind of fell off the planet. I think I was watching Golf Central, and Randall Chamblee was talking about some guys go down the road to different kind of swing thoughts, methods that kind of don't help. And that we see that with not only swing thoughts or swing philosophies, but also, you know, physical, like watching, some of the guys who have, David Duvall is a perfect example, when he went from Mr. Very Slender to going in kind of copying Tiger Woods to become all muscular and kind of losing his game. It's a tricky road when you're playing at that level, trying to get that edge. Isn't there anyone who can talk them off the ledge?
Yeah, I hope so. It's interesting that, you know, if you look at my era of player, Danielle, there was a number of guys who tried to change their body sort of type to become better players. Craig Stadler comes to mind, first of all. He was a very heavy set guy, took a lot of heat, you know, for being overweight all the time. He lost a bunch of weight thinking that was going to be the best thing for his game, and it really wasn't at all. There are some players, I believe, that play better at a heavier weight. And, you know, you just have to find something that you're comfortable with. Baddeley, in his case, has never been a great driver of the ball. He's tinkered with his swing a lot. He is one of the fabulous putters in the game, period. One of the best. But, you know, he's always tried to find something new with his game. Reminds me a little bit of what Ricky Fowler did a few years ago when he went from Butch Harmon to John Tillery and tried to change his swing to get some more distance. It didn't work. You really have to, I think almost the single most important thing is be yourself, Danielle, and know what you're really good at. Don't try to do things that you're not. And whatever system, you know, you're using, believe in it. That's what Tiger did.
Yeah, it's kind of like you hear the phrase, stay in your lane, sort of, you know, like, use what you're good at. Don't look at somebody else like a horse is in a racetrack. You're just going to get in trouble. Just, like you said, do what you're good at and keep with it. So as I'm watching the event, and I misplaced the Butterfield Bermuda Championship, I couldn't help but wonder, now I know, all of these golf courses are amazing. They're kept in amazing condition. Don't get me wrong. But there must be, you know, a difference between where the top players in the world play and in an event that isn't the top players in the world event. Is it easier playing a course that is so incredibly manicured like the top PGA Tour players play and a course that they're not playing at?
I think it is. You know, I think that's one of the things in the game that has changed, Danielle, that I'm not sure has been for the better. You don't see players at the top level in the men's game, really, play courses, you know, where you have to manufacture shots, where you get a lot of bad lies or scruffy lies or you know, where they're having to curve shots a lot. That's the way the game used to be played. It's totally become a power game now. And I think that's okay. But back in my day, players chose where they played almost primarily because of the courses. The number one criteria where you decided to play was how big the purse was. And the second was, did you like the course? Did it fit your game? None of that matters as much now as to where events fit on the schedule. That has become the single most important thing for players. And now, in particular, with these new elevated events and this new system, it's going to become even more that. The style of course is going to go way down on the list in terms of where guys choose to play.
Interesting. Yeah, so it does factor in. And I figured it was, you know, when I look at those greens that they play, they're so fast. I'd be over and across and try and just slow down. Please don't go so fast. But they're so good at it. I mean, and Baddeley being so good at his putting game, I hope he comes on because I've always enjoyed watching him play. He's got, I don't know, je ne sais quoi about him. Mark Rolfing is my guest this morning, a golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports. And of course, Maui is his home base. And he is instrumental in creating the Tournament of Champions, the Century Tournament of Champions. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, there's only 67 days left going into this event. And it is such an amazing tournament with the champions of all the tournaments that have been played, except for this new season. This new season doesn't count unless I'm wrong. And I could be, because sometimes I can't keep up with all the PGA Tour changes. But I do know that one of the coolest changes is some of the top 30, if they haven't already qualified to get in, are also going to be in the field. This is going to make a big difference in I don't know, the quality of play or the desire to win. What do you think? What's the difference in having these guys who are in the top 30 but haven't won?
Yeah, winning on the PGA Tour is getting harder and harder all the time. And if you look at this past year, Danielle, you've had a number of multiple winners on the PGA Tour. So that was going to end up working against the Century Tournament of Champions if they continued to take winners only, because the field was going to get smaller and smaller, to the point where I think it would have almost been so small this past year if they didn't take the top 30 that, you know, it wouldn't be a true competitive field,
yeah.
Especially if you get under 30. So that's really important. And, you know, the guys that are in the top 30 in the FedEx Cup, I believe, deserve to play in that event. I think that's one of the changes that's really going to secure the long-term future for the Century Tournament of Champions, which by becoming an elevated event now, effectively, they're one of the top 13 events in the entire world, not counting the majors, but there's 13 elevated events, and that's basically going to be the case all the way through Century's sponsorship, which is, what, 15 years from now?
Yes.
It really secures the entire future for the event. It was a great move, and it's amazing. When you look, you and I have talked for years and years and years, and there was a stretch there when maybe 10 years ago that both of us were really worried about the future of that tournament. You know, you had a strange sponsor in SBS, you know, a Korean broadcasting company, and top players were skipping the event, and you know, the crowds were down and the ratings were down and nothing looked good. And now here we are with literally one of the most important golf tournaments in the world. Amazing comeback for the Century Tournament of Champions.
Yeah, and kudos to Century for seeing the benefit of being involved in this tournament and really, you know, falling in love with Maui and the community and connected communities between Stevens Point and the island of Maui. It's a wonderful, the sponsor being so involved just really makes your heart warm up. You know, you just want to get involved. So I'm looking forward to talking with Max Novina in a few minutes about being a part of that, being a not only a spectator in the many different ways you can, but also being a volunteer and helping, you know, do that, this and bring all the money to all the different charities. They've raised a whole lot of money for so many different charities. All right. In the last month since I guess October, you had the Ryder Cup celebration in Kohler, Wisconsin. I don't think we've talked much. How did that celebration go?
Well, it was really good. They were doing the one-year-out festivities in Italy, where the Ryder Cup is going to be this coming year. And Golf Channel and NBC really couldn't afford to send a whole team over there to Italy. So basically what we decided to do, particularly since we hadn't heard from Steve Stricker since that Ryder Cup, Steve Stricker's had a real health scare during that time. Got very, very sick right after that Ryder Cup. We really haven't heard from him much, and so what we decided was we would go back to Kohler, Wisconsin, and celebrate a year later. And so Steve and I did a number of activities there in Wisconsin and Kohler, and it was really, really great just being back and kind of having memories from the Ryder Cup, which, as you well know, is my favorite event in golf, maybe other than the Century Tournament of Champions. But I just think, you know, we've had all these things kind of going on in the world of golf and live golf and schedule changes and this and that. But in the end, the Ryder Cup is going to survive it all. And I don't care who's playing for that European side this coming October. It's going to be a phenomenal event. And it's still going to be the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. You bring up the live, and I can't help but say that I kind of agree with the USGA's stand that if you qualify in open qualifying to play in the U.S. Open, you're going to play, whether you're on the PGA Tour, the Asian Tour, whatever tour, it doesn't matter what tour you're on, you're going to play. And that includes LIV, the LIV players. So if they go into open qualifying, let's say because they don't get, LIV doesn't get any points in the official world golf ranking, what are your thoughts on whether or not LIV should be given points?
Well, I do not believe LIV Golf should get world golf ranking points yet because they don't meet the criteria. The two big things that they don't meet are they only play 54 holes. It doesn't seem fair to me that you would have every other tournament have to have a 72-hole event, and they have a shotgun start, which changes the whole dynamic of the tournament. You don't have the pressure in the final group of having, you know, somebody chasing you in the group ahead necessarily. That player who's in second place might be on the other side of the golf course. So, I'm all for giving LIV Golf world ranking points at the point where they meet the criteria, and right now they don't. Having said that, I agree with you, Danielle. I think the top players that qualify for the majors that are on LIV should be able to play in those majors. The problem they're going to have is their world rankings for all these LIV players are dropping so dramatically that guys are simply not going to be eligible for the majors. The majors use one main criteria now, and that is top 50 in the world rankings. And there were a lot of guys like Kevin Na and Bryson DeChambeau and players like that, you know, that we're resting in the top 50 that are falling out of it rapidly.
Yeah, I can only imagine. They're having a great time. They're having a whole lot of fun. They're spending so much more time with their family. They're getting really, really rich. But if you qualify, if there's an open qualifying like the USGA has for their open, it makes only... Absolutely. If you can qualify, then you should be able to play. I go with that. So in the last month, Bryson DeChambeau, speaking of Bryson, he almost won the Long Drive Championship. Amazing. What's he doing on the tour?
You know, he owns part of it. He's a centric kind of guy. It's certainly not helping his game. He's not getting any better. I really worry about him. He was going to be one of the great stars of our game for a long, long time, and he's one of the players that I think this LIV move is not going to bring out the best in him. Is he going to get better and become more competitive by moving over to LIV from the PGA Tour? The answer is no. What worries me about all this, Danielle, is the world rankings could ultimately end up being almost irrelevant, which that's been a system that's sort of sacred to men's golf for a long, long time. Just as it is in women's golf. They have their own world rankings. But if you think about it, if you have Dustin Johnson, who is now, you know, the 100th ranked player in the world, that is not correct at all. There are not 100 guys that are better players than Dustin Johnson. He should probably be somewhere in the top 10 players of the world. And if you have a system that doesn't include Dustin Johnson in that, then something's wrong. There's a big danger here. And I really believe these organizations need to get together and figure this out.
You know, what you just said makes all the sense in the world. What doesn't make any sense is trying to litigate this situation and solve it in court. You know, and Greg Norman in the last month has said he thinks they need to sit down and talk, but he's not ready to do that. You know, it's everybody's sticking to their position and defending their turf, or being aggressive in their stance, and we're not getting anywhere.
I'll tell you what's interesting about that, because I talked with Steve Stricker about it in Kohler a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, why aren't, you know, the powers to be sitting down and trying to talk this thing through? And he looked at me and said, Mark, they are suing me. they are suing every player on the PGA Tour. How can you sit down and try to talk to somebody that is suing you? They're suing them to try to get the PGA Tour to be forced to come up with all this stuff in discovery to show how the PGA Tour works, that LIV can then prove that maybe they, you know, are having some sort of antitrust violation. This has got to stop. This lawsuit should get pulled back, and then everybody should sit down and try and figure it out, because I believe there is a place for LIV Golf in the game, but not when they are suing every player on the PGA Tour. Every player that's ever played in the PGA Tour is being sued, and all these costs are coming out of these guys' pensions funds, guys like my colleagues, Roger Maltby and Gary Koch.
Yikes.
You know, Nota Begay, they're getting sued by LIV Golf.
It's just nuts. You know, again, Bryson, speaking of, he refused to pull out of the suit. It's, who is advising some of these people?
Well, I think that's one of the issues, you know, because so many of the agents got involved. And keep in mind, Danielle, that they get a bigger percentage of LIV money than they do of PGA Tour money. So if a player wins, let's say, $10 million on the PGA Tour, his agent is only going to get about 3 to 5% of that. But if a player signs a contract with LIV Golf, an agent typically would get 20% of that. So the agents are part of the problem here, and they have been motivated to move guys over to LIV Golf because they're getting a much higher percentage of their earnings.
Follow the money.
Follow the money is right.
Mark Rolfing, it's always fun talking with you. I guess you're taking a little time off before, you know, things get rolling again.
Yep, I'm hosting the Western Golf Association big fundraiser in Chicago next week with Butch Harmon. And then I'm back to the islands for the winter. Yahoo!
Yahoo is right. And I look forward to talking with you before the Century Tournament of Champions, staying in touch with you. And you're working still, but you're having fun and working. And that's always fun, getting together with friends. Thanks for being on the show.
Take care, Daniel.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come off. You know who's been traveling the globe? This man has played or toured over 1,800 courses in 35 countries and all 50 states. He's traveling Joe Passoff. He'll be with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments.
You want a new home, but what do you need first? Call Cross Country Mortgage. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. Getting pre-approved is the key to being prepared to get the home you want. Cross Country offers a wide range of loans. Our Hawaii's savvy real estate lenders help your loan go smoothly. Call Derek at 808-445-4038. Experience mortgage made easy. Cross Country Mortgage, 808-445-4038.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Iwale. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Hey, by the way, you know, the Alawai Golf Center, their hours are, the facility opens for use at 8 o'clock daily. That's 8 a.m. Make that 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m. Can we start this over? Retake. Okay. Yes, the Alawai Golf Center opens up every morning at 6:30 a.m. and closes up at 10 p.m. Okay, so you can go out and enjoy yourselves. It's a wonderful place to play. And what we're giving away today is a repair tool. Okay, it's a Divx repair tool. And I'll make that a Pitch Fix. Divx is just stuck in my head. It was the first one. Okay, it's a Pitch Fix repair tool. We're going to give that away to the ninth caller. And remember, that's on the list of must-haves in your golf cart. Carry a green repair tool. We've got one for you. 808-545-1111.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me,
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Ball set up sweetly in the bunker. I set myself comfortably into the sand, swing for under the ball, and it sails up onto the green and into the hole. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
He's always teasing us. Joe Passoff, traveling Joe Passoff, veteran magazine editor specializing in travel, history, architecture, and played or toured over 1,800 courses in 35 countries and all 50 states. Welcome into the clubhouse, Joe.
Thank you very much, Danielle. Good to be back with you.
It's good to have you inside and talking with you. And, you know, I just got back from Wisconsin, it seems like yesterday. Went to Century World, the golf course, stayed at the inn at Century World, got to know Stevens Point. What a cute little town that is. It's wonderful, surrounded by that fantastic river. And I understand you were not too long ago in Stevens Point and went to play Century World as well.
Yeah, I didn't get to experience Stevens Point quite the same way you did, but from every report, including yours, a wonderful little spot. I just confined my activities to Century World itself, and that's not all bad either, but as we both know, it's fun to get out and explore a little bit.
Yeah, and when you were playing Century World, the golf course, which is going to host the USGA Senior Open in June of 2023, that's just next year, June, if you'd like to go to Wisconsin and see the USGA Senior Open. Okay, did you play with Robert Trent Jones Jr.?
I did have that experience, yeah. The first time I went to Century World was back in 2014, and Mr. Jones joined me for the occasion, and it was so special to play a great golf course with the architect himself. And, you know, we just had a terrific time. It was October, right around now. The weather was chilly but sunny. And, you know, even in subsequent trips, you know, Century World, Danielle, as you know, kind of became famous in the early 80s for one golf hole. And the Flower Hole, originally the 7th, later the 16th. But, again, it was really Century World was Wisconsin's first play, you know, as far as a must-play for the public to visit. Then came Kohler. Then came Sand Valley. But first and foremost, the Century World.
Yeah, and I really like it. So what did you think after playing it with Robert Trent Jones Jr.? And then I think they made some changes. Did you play it, the last couple of months when you were there?
Yeah, I played it since the changes, but I had written about it before the changes, and since the changes, it's by every estimation, it's just a better golf course, a more fun golf course, more challenging for the better player, but lots of variety and interest for the guy or gal who doesn't hit it quite as good as the top pros.
So yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he had his usual helpers, Bruce Carlton, terrific architect himself, his former associate, Jay Blossy. But they did a makeover back in 2014. And it was, really to inject more risk-reward, more strategy. And so they took out some trees to restore some of the original views there. It was healthier for the turf anyway. Plenty of cool trees still left, but also built those, like, sideboards and slopes that if you read them properly, you could run your ball into a green or get a favorable, bounce on your drive, and that's always a lot of fun, too. So it became multidimensional in the way you could get to a hole instead of just, one way.
Yeah. Very well. God, you're good. You must be a writer.
And, from time to time.
Yeah, from time to time. And so I was following you on Twitter, of course, and I checked out some of the things that you were interested in. This is Travelin' Joe Passoff on Twitter. And you retweeted out of Links Magazine, which you write for, Pete Dye once stated, "My overall philosophy is to make the whole appear more difficult than it really is." In reality, Dye designed dozens, no hundreds, of holes that both look hard and play hard. We all know that. But given that philosophy, okay, my overall philosophy is to make the hole appear more difficult than it really is, a lot of people say the flower's got to go on the flower hole. I say that makes that par three look harder than it is, because it is such a distraction. There's 30,000 flowers surrounding the hole. That really takes the eye by surprise.
I mean, have you ever seen such beautiful intimidation?
Yeah. If perfectly put. See, you're a great writer. And speaking of links, okay, Links Magazine, I had no idea, but I read your piece, and it's the greatest course never built, okay? And someone said, when Robert Trent Jones Jr. starts dropping stories and offering golf design insights, the ears and the notebooks are wide open. So you've spent a lot of time with Robert Trent Jones Jr. Was it during one of those times when he just started dropping stories that you heard about the greatest course never built?
Well, Danielle, you're right about one thing, and that is Robert Trent Jones Jr. is not only one of the greatest architects of all time, but one of the greatest storytellers of all time, because he's been everywhere, even more places than me, and he's been privy to so many amazing people, incidents, places, that he is an amazing storyteller. The story you're talking about that I just wrote for Lynx Magazine was about the Beverly Hills Country Club. And it was funny, but he didn't bring that up to me. Mm. I was doing some separate research in the LA Times on a completely different project and came across a sports section on a club in LA, and on the same page of that sports section from April 1967 was a little item about the Beverly Hills Country Club. And I'm like, what the heck? I don't know anything about that place. Well, there's a reason. It's because it was an incredible project as conceived. The people involved in it, including Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, and others. Bobby and his dad, Robert Trent Jones Sr., were going to be the designers, but it never got finished. They started, they spent a ton of money, and it never got finished. And so naturally, I had to ask Bob about that project, and he gave me some incredible insights and backdrop, because with all of the money being spent on this golf course, and it involved the Teamsters and crooked lawyers, you know, mob figures, it was all against the backdrop of the Vietnam War in 67 and 68, and sadly for Robert Trent Jones Jr., the assassination of Robert Kennedy in L.A. So all of this was going on at once, and it made for a phenomenal story.
I think it would make a great movie. There's so many figures in this, and you condensed it, giving me still this fascinating insight into all the different people, all the different events, all the things that were going on. I went, wow, that's right. Wow, that's right. Wow, I had no idea. It was, and the photo of Robert Trent Jones, senior and junior, standing in front, in the foreground, in the background, you see the area, what they're going to build this golf course. That was like an amazing earth-moving undertaking. Would anybody even try to do that today?
Well, I mean, maybe not in that location. when you're building golf courses in Asia sometimes, where the only land available is super mountainous property, that's something you kind of have to do. And as long as the developer has enough money to do it, you can get it done. It's a phenomenal earth-moving job. But, back then, in the late 60s, in the middle of one of the busiest cities, you know, in the world. That was a tough task, tall order.
That was a tall order indeed, but it's great. So all you've got to do is just Google this, the greatest course never built. And it's truly amazing, the people, the things that they wanted to get away with, how they pulled things off but didn't pull it off, you know, and how it all kind of, all the pieces, all the threads just came untangled and nothing came of it. Whatever happened to that property? Did they build houses there?
Yeah, eventually they did. And it kind of became sort of the nouveau riche of Beverly Hills, with a lot of modern entertainers, shall we say.
Yes.
In the music industry, in the action, motion picture industry, building luxury homes in that development. So it's alive and well, but no golf course.
No golf course is right. And so just an aside here, Alice Cooper, inducted into the Arizona Golf Hall of Fame. Do you know why? I saw this on your feed, your Twitter feed, so I know I didn't say I was going to talk about this, but I love Alice Cooper, and he wrote a great book, and it's all about golf, and I wish he'd be on the show again. He's a great conversationalist. Do you know exactly why he was inducted?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I was at the dinner on Tuesday night. I've had the pleasure of playing golf with Alice Cooper. I told him on that night, on Tuesday night, that of all the golf games I have ever had where I didn't have a recorder handy, that was the one I was sorriest about, because like Robert Trent Jones Jr., Alice Cooper is a master storyteller. You know, to hear the stories of when I was, you know, hanging around L.A. in 68, and, you know, John Lennon, Yoko kicked him out of the house, so he came and slept on the couch, and Paul McCartney and I went over to see Groucho Marx's house, and I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, gold, Jerry. It was incredible. So Alice is, he's been 40 years sober, and golf is his addiction of the last 40 years. He's, you know, lived in Phoenix in that time, and he's set up several different charitable organizations, and some of them are funded by charity golf tournaments. So he was honored for his contributions, you know, to Arizona golf in that regard. But one of the things that I said that night was, you know, he could have just as easily been honored for one of those people, one of those special entertainers to help make golf cool. Just like Michael Jordan did, just like Willie Nelson did. You know, when you saw these kind of folks saying, hey, I love playing golf and I love playing every day, that said to the youth of the country, you know, golf, I think golf's okay if these guys are playing it. So credit to Alice Cooper for that.
Awesome. Joe Passoff, Traveling Joe Passoff on Twitter. He's played or toured over 1,800 courses in 35 countries. I'm so tired. I've said this three times, and I'm exhausted traveling so much. And all 50 states, thank you so much. You can find him often, Links Magazine. And by the way, the name of that, again, that you want to look up is The Greatest Course Never Built. Thanks for being on the show.
Always a pleasure, Danielle.
Aloha. All righty, we're going to come back. Max Novina, Executive Director, PGA Tour Century Tournament of Champions, January 4th through the 8th, coupled to a plantation course after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SciPac watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SciPac.com. That's CYPA.com. MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair, mold remediation, asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned. What do you get for the person that has everything? We're proud to announce Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show logoed merchandise store is open. Just click the green button on our RadioGolfClub.com website to find an outstanding selection of golf club logoed items. Make an impact on the golf course with our range of clothing and accessories that ensure a smile with every package. Explore all golf styles from shirts, pants to jackets, and hats in your size and color. Visit Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club merchandise store today at RadioGolfClub.com. Fun at your fingertips with style. It's the Century Tournament of Champions Winner's Circle with Max Novina, Executive Director of the Century Tournament of Champions and hosted by Danielle Tucker. Golf's first tournament of the new year, keeping you on top of what's happening at Century Tournament of Champions at the Plantation Course, Kapalua, Maui, January 5th to the 8th, 2023. Spectators, volunteers, media, and whales leaping out of the water to watch the best of the best challenge Maui's Kapalua Plantation Course. Here's Max Novina and Danielle Tucker.
I think that's such a great sight. You know, the idea of the whales leaping out to take a look at how's that putt going to roll. Okay, let's bring him in. Max Novina, Executive Director, PGA Tour Century Tournament of Champions. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle. Great to be with you. And certainly what an honor to be on the same show as Mark Rolfing.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he wonderful? He's such a busy guy. He's going. And, you know, we don't talk about what we're going to talk about.
Well, yeah. It's so no doubt. He's a pro, and, you know, he's been a really great friend to our tournament, to this community, but also to myself as, you know, I've transitioned into this role and moved the family to Maui. Certainly could not have done it without the support of Mark. So thank you to Mark.
Awesome. That is so wonderful. So, yeah, after you got here, after, well, you've done so many different things before coming here too, what was the biggest motivating factor coming? Was it the golf or the surf?
You know, all of the above. I've had the good fortune of really blending my passions, my hobbies, with also my professional interests. And for me and for our family, it was really important to us to, you know, finish my career at the PGA Tour. Just such a quality organization, such quality people, and we do so much for the community. So, you know, it's great to be on Maui. It's great to be leading the Tournament of Champions, and you know, it feels fantastic to be able to contribute and bring this amazing event to life for our community.
It is. It's wonderful. And Century has upped it so much by not only extending their sponsorship to 2035, through 2035, you know, their connected communities. Just when I started, you know, seeing more and more and more about how the connection is happening and business, charity, education on so many different levels, that, you know, really expanding the opportunities that can be had for Maui folks and Stevens Point folks. It's like no other sponsor has ever done. Certainly, I don't know of any other sponsor who's done something like this in PGA Tour history. Do you?
Yeah, Absolutely. Century's commitment to not only the PGA Tour, but to Maui is unparalleled. They truly view Maui as their second home. And beyond what they've done for the game of golf and, you know, specifically for our tournament the first week of January, this is their second home. And it's amazing to see how they show up for our community year-round. You've talked a little bit about connected communities and, whether it be youth, education, and so many other, causes. There's so many people that are in need, certainly through the pandemic, and they've always shown up for all of those folks. And, you know, it's something that we look to continue in the future.
We've got a terrific field that's coming out for the Century Tournament of Champions in 2035. It's January 4th through the 8th, and this is quite astounding, the number of people, in addition to those who've won, and we've had multiple winners, like Rory. I got confused there for a second. I confused myself. Has Rory won twice in 2022? He has, but it's only once in the season of, do you know what I'm saying? He won again recently, but that's the new season, correct?
That's correct. And actually, this came up during your segment with Mark. So eligibility for the Century Tournament of Champions comes in two forms, either winning the preceding year or qualifying for the Tour Championship, being a part of the top 30 of the FedEx Cup points list. So the new season technically started immediately after the Tour Championship with the Fortinet. And any of the winners through the fall season are also eligible into the Tournament of Champions. And I think Mark made the point. Yeah, it certainly 2022 has been the year of the repeat winner. Everybody from, Scottie Scheffler to Sam Burns to Tony Finau, Max Homa, and Rory specifically has now won three times in 2022. He won the RBC Canadian Open, he won the Tour Championship, and also was the FedEx Cup champion, and then most recently won last week at the CJ Cup. So he's now our new world number one, and we're super excited to have him in our field in January. And, beyond what he's done on the golf course, the way he stepped up on behalf of the PGA Tour and, really become the face and the voice, it's been really inspiring and motivating for all of us.
Yeah, and this is an elevated tournament, so it requires players to come. And we haven't seen Rory here, so is he going to be here?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that the tour did as part of the enhancements or the adjustments, not just to things like the purse or the eligibility or, you guys talked a little bit about earlier on the program, the 13 elevated events,
right,
plus the four majors, is as a collective, the top players on the PGA Tour, they came together and they agreed that they're going to show up and play in all of the elevated events. And that is huge. Specifically for our fans, you now know which event the top players will be playing in, and so certainly the Tournament of Champions is the first elevated event for the season, and everybody that's eligible, assuming there isn't an injury, will be playing in the field and here on Maui.
That's awesome. See you guys. Rory's going to be here. Rory McIlroy will be playing in the Century Tournament of Champions. So tickets are available at Century Tournament of Champions. I just put that in your Google search engine. Bingo, you're there, and you'll see how to get your tickets. But I want to talk a little bit about becoming a volunteer, making everything come together for this tournament by volunteering your time. And you get to be inside the ropes. I mean, it's such a cool experience to be having something to do and at the same time watching everything that's getting done. You know, it's like, wow, I'm right here. Look at that. That's awesome. So I was curious. You're also looking for 5-shift volunteers for all committees. So what is a shift volunteer?
Yeah, the main thing is we ask anybody who decides to participate to contribute 5 shifts over the course of the week. And to your point, volunteering for not only the Century Tournament of Champions, but really any golf tournament is literally one of the best experiences that you could have in all of professional sport. You are a part of the action. If you love golf, or if you love serving your community, and Danielle, as you know, the underpinning of our business model is to give everything away. So all of the net proceeds for our event, we give back to the local community, and we depend on this volunteer workforce to help us bring the event to life.
That's wonderful.
Having said that, being a volunteer means you're part of the action. Your credentials serves as your ticket for the week. You get great apparel, a beautiful golf shirt, golf hat. We build a volunteer headquarters where we feed you, ensure that, you're comfortable. And, here again, it's just a great way to not only experience the event, but give back to your community.
Yeah, and I think last time we talked about the folks who come from Canada, the U.S. mainland, from Japan, anywhere in the world, you can be a volunteer in sustainable tourism. It is, because a lot of people want to come to a different place and not just cruise around, and they want to become a part of the community to do something. They want to volunteer for something to do, and that's been a big part of the Century Tournament of Champions. Isn't there like this, you depend on this certain group of people who always come to Hawaii to be a volunteer?
Absolutely. Current state, we have more than 30 states represented. We have, I think 5 of the 10 provinces in Canada. We have multiple countries. And, to your point, we have amazing relationships with all of the entities here on Maui, as well as across the islands. And we've really made a commitment to the community to ensure that, as we bring visibility and promotion to the islands, that we're doing so responsibly. And this whole idea of, Malama Aina and giving back to the land or giving back to the community, is something that we absolutely, message. So beautiful beaches, amazing experiences and resorts. But while you're here, please give back and, please think of ways to learn more about the local culture and lifestyle and the history and the tradition and give back to it. If you do that, you're going to have not just an amazing time, but you're going to be welcomed by all.
Yeah, it's very fulfilling to find everything out. You are expanding as a person. A record $642,490 was raised for charity last year. So let's make it $750,000 this year. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us, Max Novina, Executive Director of PGA Tour Century Tournament of Champions, January 4th through the 8th, Kapalua Plantation Course. Aloha, Max. Till next time.
Aloha, Danielle. Thank you.
We're going to come back and get a little bit of the info from Dr. Kiran Kanwar, PhD, Biomechanics, Anatomy, LPGA Master Instructor, and Golf Consultant to Golfers and the Golf Industry after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
You want a new home, but what do you need first? Call Cross Country Mortgage. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. Getting pre-approved is the key to being prepared to get the home you want. Cross Country offers a wide range of loans. Our Hawaii-savvy real estate lenders help your loan go smoothly. Call Derek at 808-445-4038. Experience mortgage made easy. Cross Country Mortgage, 808-445-4038.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Iwelei. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore. Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
One of the 10 must haves in your golf cart is a green repair tool. A Pitch Fix divot repair tool fits that description. It is a green repair tool, a Pitch Fix divot repair tool. So I want to give it to you. 808-545-1111. You must be the ninth caller. We haven't gotten our ninth caller. Give us a call. We'll be back after this.
Only three parts to the golf swing: the backswing, the impact position, and follow through. So why is my head exploding? Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Kieran Conwar can probably explain that. She is an amazing teacher. She is an LPGA master instructor. She also has her PhD. She's Dr. Kieran Conwar, biomechanics and anatomy. Welcome into the clubhouse, Kieran.
Thank you so much, Daniel. Thank you for having me, and hope you're having a great day.
Oh, we are. It is, and I hope you're having a great day, too. I wanted to ask you, you know, we hear so much about men going for distance. Well, women are just as intense on going for the distance, you know? I mean, whenever I'm competing, I don't think I'm any different than a guy competing. But our bodies are different. We have different muscle structure. We have, you know, we're not built like guys are. So what can be done to get female golfers to perform better, specifically distance-wise?
Yeah, so our main issue is that we have slower moving bodies because we have a wider pelvis and we have a chest. And we need a movement that can guarantee that we connect the same spot on the ground every single time. Typically, as I say, a woman will smother the ball into submission and a man will bludgeon it into submission. So when you want to make that smother into a good contact, you can't be sweeping across that patch of grass. You have to be connecting the ground to a little extent. And to do that, you have to avoid overly moving your body because we don't have the speed to come back to the ball in the 1/3 second the downswing lasts. We really have to use a swing that's much simpler and has much less unnecessary movement, basically.
Wow. Okay, so not too much, you know, not going way back in the backswing?
No, what I specifically mean, and this is based on my research of 29 years, for any skill level of golfer, you want to keep your head, your torso, and your legs very, very stable. And against those stable parts of your body, you want to move your arms as far and as freely as you can. And people say it's an arm swing, but it's not, because the arms, the shoulders are connected to some of your most powerful muscles, your pecs and your lats, and through them to other core muscles, so that you can really get a good, powerful movement without all that extraneous movement that looks good but is redundant.
Interesting. All right. So I'm trying. Give me an example of when if I'm going to keep everything still, you don't want me twisting too much. Are we overturning our hips?
Yes, I would like you to set up with your right shoulder, elbow, if you're right-handed, with your right shoulder and elbow slightly behind, away further from the target line. So rotate it very slightly, just 3-4 degrees away from the target line. And your right ear tilted very slightly, so nobody can tell, towards your right shoulder.
Wow.
Then you lock in your legs, your torso, and your head. You just don't move any of them at all. And you make a very, very free arm swing that allows your hands to get as high as the top of your head. That's the basic phase one. And then you have to fine-tune it. But even if you just do this much, you will see that you get very authoritative contact. It's not so wishy-washy as most of us women tend to make contact, you know. And we never get enough trajectory because we don't come into the ground forcefully enough.
Wishy-washy. I haven't heard that in a long time. That's a really good word. Okay. And it's something we were talking about earlier in the show with Mark Rolfing. Yeah, why are even the best players in the world with access to the best coaches, the best trainers, they're erratic. They're not consistent in their performance. They win one week, they miss the cut, they get injured. What's up with that?
Yeah, so the problem is that the human beings have developed are trying to make the body work around what they perceive to be a good golf swing, rather than work the golf swing around what your body is actually anatomically capable of. And as a result, look at Will Zalatoris, so highly talented. He just turned 26, and just around that time, he had two disc herniations, not one, but two. Because these days, and the trend is getting worse, people are wanting you to move more and more, move to the right, lift your body, turn to the left, drop your left side of your torso. All that stuff is too much. And nobody has proved that that's the only way to do it. So even though they have access, even the club manufacturers now are many of the club manufacturers make a club which is designed to prevent a leftward miss for the better golfer. Why should the better golfer miss it left when most golfers miss it right? I mean, slice the ball. They are doing something extraneous and difficult on the opposite side. So really, to cut out both left and right side movement, you need to position yourself so that your body's joints block your ability to make an over-the-top movement. Literally, the swing that I've developed prevents your trail or your right arm from the shoulder from coming over the top, and even the trail elbow and wrist from what I call coming over the top. Literally, you're physically blocked. You don't have to think about it. You have no downswing thoughts. In your setup and backswing, you're being positioned to never be able to miss left at all, and get much better trajectory that women want, and then with some fine-tuning, be dead straight.
Wow. Okay, so where do you teach?
I teach in California at Woodley Lakes Golf Course near L.A. And, it may sound wow, and it's very simple, but it's taken 29 years of blood, sweat, and tears to discard all the typical traditional ideas and decide, hey, I have to, if I'm going to do it, go whole hog and see what really makes sense and does not, from a scientific rather than a historical perspective.
Yeah. So you believe with your, I mean, you have a PhD in kinesiology, biomechanics, structural anatomy. How long did you work on all of this to come to the conclusions you've come to?
Well, to be very honest, even in my PhD dissertation, which was done in 2019, I had some excellent results. There was much less load on the low back, less load on the hip, left hip and knee, which get a lot of load, so you could have less scope for injury. There was much shallower angle of approach and inside path, which are all good. But my golfers lost speed, and I was like in complete shock. I wanted to run away from golf. But then in the 3 years since, that was a really learning moment under pressure, like, you know, under the pressure of having to write up everything in your dissertation, whether you like it or not. Now I've realized that I used to, because it's been historically told to us, rotate, that you don't need to rotate as much. The more you rotate, the more trouble you'll have undoing that rotation. The human brain, Danielle, has not been developed for rotary motions. It does not control your torso movements very to a great extent, because the human body is designed to run away from the enemy and gather fruit, hunter-gatherers. The hunter-gatherers didn't need any sophisticated rotation and torso movements, and our central nervous system is not designed to undo difficult torso movements in a split second. Plus, it's a very big body part. Your whole entire torso is so heavy, you cannot expect to reroute it in the small amount of time that you have in the downswing.
Goodness.
You really have to simplify and not move any of that stuff that's difficult to undo.
That is wonderful, because my brain has been trying to figure out why it can't get the torso to do what it tells it to do.
You don't need. There's a very famous golf biomechanist in Canada who has been speaking of the term proximal meaning your core and your central part of your body, stillness or stiffness, he calls it, for distal speed. Like when you want to punch someone in the face, you're not going to heave your whole body back and then shove the body forward and try to punch. You're going to keep your body still and put that all your force into the fist that's making the punch. And that's the exact same thing you want for golf. Very little, very late punch power.
That's so, I would never have brought boxing into into golf learning.
Yes, but all sports movements, or most sports movements, use the core as a stable base and move the arms effectively against it, or at least that's what they should do to be effective.
Yeah, I get it. Wow, that really, bingo, lights on. Okay, this is Kiran Kanwar, program chair and on the faculty of golf department at Stanton University, PhD, MS, yes, BS, physics and math. Of course, she had everything. She is an LPGA master instructor. She's also columnist, Avid Golf Magazine, and member of the Golf Writers Association of America. Now, you can go to a website. It's her website, yourgolfguru.com. That's the perfect name for you, yourgolfguru.com. Some of this, you know, sounds kind of complicated because it's not complicated. So anytime you want to explain something that's not complicated, it sounds complicated. But how to get more people into golf? You know, the worst thing is to try to teach people who've never been in the game, and then they get all flustered because they don't understand what you're saying, because there's all these terms to go with it. What do you suggest?
Yeah, I suggest that even though I know all the technical terms, I never use them. I teach everyone as I would someone that's 5 years old. Unless they ask for explanations, what would I tell a five-year-old to keep it fun and make them see results instantly? You know, the five-year-old doesn't care what the technique is. Are your biceps moving or your external obliques contracting? They don't care. They just want to have fun. And you just have to keep it simple. It's a very easy way to get non-golfers into golf because it's just so simple. Any basic grip, basic posture, lock the body in place, swing the arms freely, and then maybe a little fine-tuning for direction. Literally, if you lock your body in place and don't move it from start to impact, sorts out a lot of your problems.
Wow.
And you have to be very free with arms. And literally, that's all. You could literally try this out. You can try it out tomorrow. Rotate your right shoulder, elbow, and wrist slightly back away from the target line. Tilt your right ear slightly towards your right shoulder. Lock up your entire body. No leg movement. The left knee is not to buckle. No torso movement side to side, up and down. None of that. Keep your head locked. Keep your waist locked off the right side. And just be as free as you want, as free as a bird with your arms, and kill it.
And kill it. It's yourgolfguru.com. Go there. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. It's fun talking with you. Lights
Thank
on.
Thank you, Daniel. You should visit and have a lesson in person the next time you're in sunny California.
I would love to. Thank you, Kiran.
Thank you, Daniel. Have a good day.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back. Ron Cyrak is with us in the clubhouse, award-winning writer, author, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement Award recipient. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club. MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair, mold remediation, asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PJ and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me?
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu. We're down to two more calls, okay? Pitch Fix Divot Repair Tool is yours free. One of the 10 things that really needs to be inside your golf bag, okay? And it's very light. It's not going to weigh you down. And it's very easy to use. If you'd like to play a round of golf this morning, Volcano Golf Club, nice and chilly, was 57 degrees. There's a 10:36. Makalei has a 10:10. That's up country too, so it'll be chilly or nice. Poipu, a 9:20 and a 10:20. A lovely day to play. And it's a little wet, so just be prepared. Bring a jacket. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 8:52, a 10:10. Bayview has a 10:36. Makaha East, 8:54, 9:09. Wailea Gold, a 10:50. Emerald, a 10:40. Blue Course, a 9:50. Maui Nui, there's a 10:56. And the Petardos are going out to play around. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com. Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the break, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter? I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. Ron Syrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America, lifetime achievement and journalism recipient, and an LPGA Media Excellence Award recipient. He's also author with Vision 54, Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson, including Play Your Best Golf Now. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Aloha, Danielle. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. And I wanted to talk a bit about the PGA of America, all the different awards. It's award season. And John Solheim was given the PGA Distinguished Service Award honors, honoring outstanding individuals who display leadership, humanitarian qualities, including integrity, sportsmanship, and enthusiasm for the game of golf. So that's the overall. So John Solheim, tell us a little bit about him.
You know, I think that John, he's a remarkable man in several ways, and one of which, he had to do something incredibly difficult. He had to take over a very successful family business started by his father and keep it successful. And he did that. And he not only did that, but he had to follow in the footsteps of Carsten Solheim, his father, the founder, who was one of the most wildly innovative people in golf technology, changed the game of golf in many, many ways by bringing perimeter weighting first to the putter and then to irons. And John not only continued the success of his father, he continued the innovations of his father. John Solheim has 170 U.S. patents in his own name.
Wow.
That's a remarkably creative mind there.
Yeah, so I was thinking that with his father being so wildly, you know, innovative, as you said, that maybe he had to be the more stable influence in the family, but then it sounds like they were all wildly innovative.
He had to be a stabling influence in the sense that he had to take the company to that next level, you know, from being a local family-owned business to being an internationally family-owned business. And, you know, it's not always easy to take over a successful operation and not go backwards, you know, and not slip back. And John not only kept the company from slipping back, he took it forward into a new era, a new generation of growth. And it's still one of the premier companies out there. And, you know, I've known John a little over 20 years, maybe. I played with him in a pro-am about 22, 23 years ago. And he is also one of the nicest, most humble people that you ever come across. There is nothing about him that is anything but respectful to everybody around him. And I've been to their factory in Phoenix. The respect that he shows to his workers is amazing. You know, it is one of the cleanest, most efficiently well-organized factories that I'd ever been in. And you could see the affection that his employees had for John because of the way that he's treated them.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's very, very cool. It's a terrific statement about the person. 170 U.S. patents to his name. Ping was often considered like a women's club. When did it get, and I remember a couple of guys playing with a pink club. When did it become more everybody's club?
Well, you know, for a long time, Ping had way more LPGA players on its endorsement staff than any other equipment company. At a time when a lot of equipment companies would have one or two or three women endorsement partners on their staffs, Ping would have 16, 17, 18 on their staff. So it's always been wildly supportive of women's golf. Look, the Solheim Cup was created by the Solheim family to promote the women's game. They always had a tournament in Phoenix at Moon Valley, which was a course that was owned for a long time by the Ping company out there. When men started to pick up on the forgiveness of the Ping clubs and started to realize they worked for everybody. They were performance clubs that work at the highest level, and it started with the putter. You know, famously, Carsten Solheim invented the Ping putter with a popsicle stick and two sugar cubes. You know, he was sitting in a restaurant, and he looked at that, and he figured out if you put the two sugar cubes at either end of the popsicle stick, you move the weight out to the side, and you increase the sweet spot. You know, you made it a bigger, more stable face for striking the golf ball. And then later they brought that to the irons with cavity back and perimeter weighted irons. And then the men players started to see that this worked, started to play the clubs, and then the company exploded from there.
Wow. Oh, I'd never heard that story before. So sugar cubes and a popsicle stick.
Yep.
Inspiration comes from so many different places. It's truly amazing. All right.
Well, what was funny is that Carsten Solheim was a mechanical engineer for General Electric Company, and he took up golf late in life. He was in his 40s, you know, didn't pick it up as a kid, and he was frustrated by the game, like many of us are, and he started to try to think of ways, well, how can I make this game simpler, easier, you know, and that's how he started to come up with these innovative ideas for golf club instruction, clubs that were more forgiving so that the average player could get more out of their game.
Wow. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, we're going to stick with the PGA of America. The United States is leading in the 2022 Women's Cup. It's being played at the Santa Ana Pueblo, New Mexico, and in the team golf events, Women's PGA Cup. The leaderboard changed dramatically in the Thursday rounds, we didn't do so good. And then yesterday, we came on pretty strong and now leading. And Team Canada began the day with a one-shot lead over Great Britain and Ireland. United States was five shots back. And in third, by the time the second round ended, U.S. was one over par, 439, and a one-stroke lead over first-round leader Team Canada. So with Great Britain and Ireland sitting in third, followed by Australia in fourth, Sweden in fifth, and South Africa in sixth place. And speaking of women's golf, we have three tournaments coming up: Toto Japan Classic, Pelican Women's Championship, and the CME Group Tour Championship. And that wraps up the LPGA season. So, Ron, do you think a lot of women will be going to the Toto Japan Classic, or do you think they'll stay in the States and want to go to the Pelican Women's Championship and in preparation for the CME Group Tour Championship?
Well, the of the five players who really still have a chance to be player of the year, I think all but one of them went to Korea to play. Brooke Henderson didn't go. I would imagine it'll be similar in Korea, and then set the stage for coming back for those final two events in Florida. And the player of the year race, which in my mind a month ago I thought was a lock for Minji Lee, you know, she won the U.S. Women's Open. It was in the top 10 in three other majors, finished second in the women's PGA. All of a sudden, Lydia Ko has positioned herself to be player of the year this year. And I think this is really one of the underplayed, underappreciated stories of the year, is that for the second year right now, Lydia is taking major steps towards getting the form back that she had when she was in her teens and was winning a couple of major championships and 14, 15 LPGA events. Right now, Lydia is on the verge of becoming the best player in the world again.
Wow. Isn't that something? I mean, how does the LPGA determine player of the year?
It's a point system, like last year, Jin-Young Ko and Nelly Korda were virtually tied going into the final event of the year. They both had won four tournaments. Jin-Young won the CMA Group Tour Championship, and based on the point system, you get 30 for a win, and then you get points down to the top 10 in each tournament. So based on winning that tournament, Jin-Young Ko won on the point, was Player of the Year. Well, the Golf Writers Association of America gives a Player of the Year award, and it's a voting award. And it's not a point system. And I didn't vote for Jin-Young Ko. I voted for Nelly Korda in that, because Nelly also won the Olympic gold medal last year. And so, you know, and I think that if you're talking about player of the year, you got to look at it bigger than that, but than just the LPGA events. You got to look at it on a more global way. But this is determined in LPGA events who's player of the year. They do it on a point system. And right now, I think there's still four players who have a chance to win. And Minji Lee, Lydia Ko, Brooke Henderson, and Adia Titakul of Thailand still are in a chance to win it.
Wow. Do you think the men should go to a point system? They vote for it.
Well, they vote for it. There are like two. If you throw in the Golf Writers Award, there's three players of the year. The PGA Tour players vote for their player of the year. There's also the PGA of America also gives a Player of the Year award, and they use a point system for that. And then the Golf Writers Association has the vote. You know, there are shortcomings to both, and one of the shortcomings to having players vote for Player of the Year is personalities then enter into it, you know.
Absolutely.
In some ways, it becomes a popularity contest in a certain way. Somebody, if it's tight between two players, the player that people like better is going to fare better in that vote.
And who do you see at the CME Tour Group Tour Championship, playing, of course, in Naples, Florida, year after year, on that wonderful golf course, the name of which just went right out of my mind.
Tiburon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Who does that favor? Lydia Ko?
Well, Lydia's won there. You know, she's played well there. You know,
Minji Lee has played really, really well in all the big events this year. You know, she's just, I don't think she's missed a cut in anything, and she finished in the top 10 in four of the five majors, and won one, finished second in another one. So she seems to amp herself up when a big purse is at stake. and there's a big purse at stake in the CMA Group Tour Championships. But I think it's going to be a fun shootout, and you're going to see Lydia and Minji and Brooke Henderson. And you know who's always played well there and is Lexi Thompson, you know.
That's right.
And I wouldn't be surprised to see her pop up.
Yeah, and she's getting better with the fourth round. You know, isn't she?
Yes, she is. You know, I think that Lexi was probably affected by the COVID interruptions more than any other player out there. She had won at least one tournament for seven straight years until 2020. And then, boom, COVID came in. She didn't win in 20, didn't win in 21. She won in the Ladies European Tour event this year. But I think it really threw her out of kilter a little bit. But we tend to forget, because she started so young, how young she still is. You know, this is somebody who's still like 27 years old and has a chance to really get back to being the best player in the world.
Wow. We have about 60 seconds left, and I want to ask you, Lydia Ko coming back, I mean, that gives a lot of people hope when they have lost their game. She's had her game at 14, and then she fell off the, I don't know, she,
yep.
Boom. And now she's coming back. Is it happiness?
I think happiness has something to do with it. I think it's accepting who she is. There was a time when she didn't think she hit the ball far enough. And then this new wave of players, you look at Brooke Henderson and Lexi Thompson, and players come along, hit the golf ball a mile. And Lydia was not that. And she tried to change her swing to hit more of a draw, to get the ball out there further. And I think that threw her out of whack. I think she's gone back to being who she is and is more comfortable in her own skin now and has found out that she can play the game just fine being the way she always swung the golf club.
That's fantastic. What a great way to wrap up our conversation. Always wonderful to have you in the clubhouse. Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, and, of course, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement Award recipient. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
Talk to you down the road, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Awesome. We're going to thank the people who make this show possible. If you're ready to take your game to the next level, you know, you just need to get yourself a PGA professional. Yeah, you just need to go out to the golf course, you know, and ask her, I need a PGA professional to teach me this game, because they know how to teach this game. They know this game. It takes a lot to become a PGA professional. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe cleanup, 24/7. They're licensed, they're insured, and they're contractors, so they can clean it all up, and then they can fix it for you and get to know the same people. Rainer Garage Doors, always good to have you. Aloha Power Equipment, the mega store is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwile, and Aloha Power Equipment is in Iwile and in Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips, and there are specials inside the Iwile store. Just, you know, go to your favorite. The really cool thing about the Iwile store is they have different sections, and each one is the manufacturer of your, you know, the one that you like the best. So you just go to that, and you look for the specials that are happening, and it's wonderful. And, thank you so much for everyone who's been such a huge supporter of the golf club over these many years. And I also want to thank SIPAC Security. It's cybersecurity month this month. And SIPAC, it's an elite group of cyber specialists. They're providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. They live here. They know our culture. Give them a call. It's 808-861-9595. So when you're out playing the game of golf, you don't have to worry about anything. They're not going to get in. And if something happens, even if you're scammed, you know somebody's been scammed by giving away all of those cards, those gift cards that are worth money. Yeah, they might even be able to help you deal with that situation. You can always hear the Golf Club radio show at Golf Club. It's called, excuse me, it's RadioGolfClub.com. RadioGolfClub.com. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.